Welcome to the dark room, everybody.
How's it going, guys? Welcome in.
So, it's the last show.
It is.
Wow. I mean, we've had a lot of shows here. We've done a lot, and I mean...
Yeah, we've talked about a lot. We've had a couple guests. It's been fun.
Definitely. Been really fun.
It has.
But we have one last show, so what are we talking about today?
So we were going to talk about that...
Techie,
that film.
Yeah, couldn't find it.
Could not find that film.
And what's even weirder is if I look up Techie film Wikipedia, it has a wiki. And it's got a full plot. It's got a critical reception. It's got a release, a cast list. It's got all sorts of stuff on here with references, mind you, and sources. So this movie exists, but we couldn't find it anywhere. It's a Koji Shiraishi film. So, I mean, a lot of his movies are hard to find, but it just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Definitely strange. I think there were like clips on YouTube and things like that, but the full movie we just could not find. So kind of picking up from where we left off last time, we're going to talk a little bit about Junji Ito.
Junji Ito.
Talking about, what is it, Tomy, right?
Tomy, yeah.
It's... Okay, so you're reading it, or you finished
reading
it, right?
I haven't finished it yet.
Okay,
because it's a long book.
It is. I saw the book. That thing is huge.
Yeah, but it is from what I've read so far, it's really good.
Okay, so you're reading it. I saw a couple of the different episodes from the show on Netflix. The show's on I think it's like the Theater of Darkness or something like that. It's on Crunchyroll. So I guess we got like two different perspectives we can talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that, but I just didn't get around to it. So you go first. What did you think of the show?
Incredibly messed up.
Incredibly messed up? What was your favorite episode?
Okay. Man. I would say... I'd say my favorite was probably... Man, I don't know. Because there's two episodes in the Theater of Darkness one. Both, I want to say, are equally disturbing.
Okay.
I think I like the second one a little more.
The second one?
Yeah. So the second episode, well, the first one, it kind of opens the way that you mentioned the book opens when you and I were talking. It's Tomy, she gets pushed off a cliff. And they think she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
And they go down there, and they don't want to call the cops. They don't want to call an ambulance. And so the teacher decides he's going to, he tells all the male students that he's going to teach them one last lesson. And so they all basically strip down to their underwear. They all have hacksaws. And they just go at it. And as they're going at it, she wakes up. She's not dead. And they just, he apologizes and ends her with a pair of scissors. In the show, and then they just proceed to go at it, and
which is exactly how it happens in the manga.
They distribute the body parts and like all the interior organs, and they give it to each one of the students, and they have to go hide it somewhere. Nobody cares. Like, the students aren't bothered by it. Everyone's just like, okay, thank you, teacher. Thank you for teaching us this. And it's like you could just tell they hated her. Now the second episode, the one that I like, it's a little weird. There's this girl, she's in a hospital, and there's this dude that visits her. He's like the main. I didn't get the names, but he's kind of like the main love interest.
Yeah.
But overall, he's dating this other girl, and this other girl looks just like Tomy.
Yeah. Yep.
And it kind of ends with him just killing her.
Yeah.
And when they catch him red-handed, he can't even say why. He just says that when he saw her, he just got this overwhelming urge to just want to kill her.
Yeah. And so that's like about where I got in the book, is up to that point.
Really?
Yeah, because the three episodes of that show, or the two, is it two or three?
It's two, because there's a third one, but it's the same second episode, just in Japanese versus English.
Okay. So those two episodes are not... like probably like not even like a quarter of the book, not even like a fifth. There, it's like a very small portion is what those two episodes are. I mean, it's a good two episodes, but I am a little tiny bit farther than that.
How far away are those two like events
from
each other?
They happen right after each other. Like, okay. Those two parts happen back to back in the book, but I'm a little bit farther than that. I don't want to say what happens because I want people to read it, but it gets a lot wackier, like a lot wackier, and things
is wacky the word to use.
Yeah, because it's weird. It's like it's just gets weirder and unexplainable, and like there's just a lot going on that I don't want to spoil.
He is like that, isn't he? Like Junji Ito, his art style, his stories are, man, I don't want to say they're scary. They're just so creepy and unsettling. Yeah, and like his art style is kind of fits it perfectly, because some of those episodes, there was this one about like a fashion model, but she's hideous.
Yeah.
And they go to shoot something in the mountains and she's not getting any film time, but this other girl is, and she ends up eating the girl because this model is like this monster, and it's the weirdest thing. Maybe wacky is the word.
It's a wacky horror. It's scary. It's not really scary. It's just creepy.
It's just unsettling.
It's unsettling, and I think that's kind of some of the best horror there is.
The art style really helps. Yeah, it does such a good job with it.
There was Junji Ito has a Netflix show as well. Mm-hmm. I watched one episode of that, and it had to do with like a weird family. And
the first episode,
and then there's like a weird family, and they
it's like they the invite, brother, the older brother, and then they invite this lady over.
It's like it was so weird. It was like not scary at all.
No,
it was just incredibly unsettling, and like every second you were like oh my gosh, this is like a train wreck. Like it's
like an even creepier, morbid Adam's family that you just kind of feel bad for. Like these people are just weird. You just feel bad.
You feel bad. But I mean, Junji Ito, he excels in that. I was gonna bring Venus in the Blind Spot to read, which is one of his short story collections, but I have yet to sit down and read it, so I'll probably do that tonight. But I did bring Tomi to read. I do have to go home. Like, I'm going straight home after this anyway. So, but I mean, I kind of want to continue our Japanese horror talk from last week just because it was so much fun. And we can do whatever we want. So, I mean, it is the final show, so I do want to talk a little bit about one thing though, off the topic of Japanese horror. Why is horror so important to us in our lives, and why do we like it so much? What makes horror like so cool? So I'll let you go first, but what's so important or so special about horror to you?
Man, to me, I want to say that horror is something that's so important because it's different. It's not like everyday life. When you're looking at horror, first of all, horror on its own, there's so much that goes into it. But if we're talking about fear, fear is this almost primal feeling that we all have within each other. Fear keeps you alive.
Yeah.
And I want to say in everyday life, you don't really feel fear often, you know? Like, things are just normal. Maybe if you're going to get in an accident and something happens, then yes, you feel fear. But being able to see these things and feel that fear, while knowing that most of this is fiction and nothing is actually real and none of this is actually going to happen to you, it kind of gives you that relief. Like, you're getting that rush, that fear, that adrenaline, but you know you're in a safe environment. What you're seeing is horrifying, but nothing's actually going to happen to you. No harm is going to come to you. And I think that's why people love it so much. I think that's why I like it so much, because I love anything that has, you know, I love to have an adrenaline rush. I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
So stuff like that to me is just awesome. And also just it's different. I feel like everyday life is just so boring. And being able to see these stories of these creatures that exist, of all of these myths, these curses, these urban legends, I feel like that's actually fascinating. Even though deep down I know most of this stuff isn't real and I believe some of it might be, I think it's still really just interesting.
Yeah. For me, I think that horror is like spicy food. I think I've said this before, but like, not everybody loves spicy food. It's a required taste. And a lot of people act, they feel about spicy food the same way they feel about horror. Like, I can't stand it. Like, I can't, I have no tolerance for it. But for me, I love spicy food. Same and I love here. Horror. Yep. So I feel like horror is so important, so special, because it's one of those genres that makes you feel the most. It stimulates your emotions and your feelings the most out of any other genre. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's like,
it's like, sure, a roller coaster of emotions.
Not all drama films are going to make you cry.
Yeah.
Not all comedy films are going to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And not all horror films will make you scared. But the thing between all three of those, comedy, drama, and horror, is they're the three genres that get the most emotion out of people. And I just choose the horror as my favorite one because I like good comedy. I like good drama, but in the end, they don't give me the same feeling that horror does. And how, like, I love getting scared. I just love sitting in a room, and it makes me think about, you know, the world and mortality and life and all that. So, I don't know. I think that it is unique. It's special. And I think everybody could benefit from watching a good horror movie and learning something or two from how to make good horror. But that's my answer. So
I agree.
I feel like scary things have always permeated through culture. And I feel like there is a reason that people in the old medieval era started telling horror stories or ghost stories or things about witches and vampires and werewolves and whatnot, because it was interesting to hear about. My favorite kind of horror is either psychological or Lovecraftian. What's your favorite kind of horror?
Probably psychological or supernatural.
Yeah. Okay. Supernatural is really good. I like Eldritch horror because it's probably the most disturbing type of horror. Something that's just so powerful, it's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Color Out of Space is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Now this is a weird tangent, but have you ever played the Fallout games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the Fallout universe, there is an entity called Ugg-Kulltoth,
mm-hmm,
that is a Eldritch being. And if you go into those games and you read the files on Ugg-Kulltoth and you just, like, read stuff, it's terrifying. And it's in a video game that's otherwise wacky and zany and weird and kind of silly, but it's got this horror element to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that are like that. I feel like, yeah, even Lethal Company is kind of like that too. If, yeah, you read some of that lore and you see, like, the, mm-hmm, like the company doesn't exist, and it's actually, there's this creature, you got to keep feeding it. It's behind this massive wall, but, you know, it's only there for so long. Like, eventually it's going to break out. And you find, yeah, all these logs of the old crew, all the old crewmates that have perished. Yeah, games do a really good job of having stuff like that, even the wackiest ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, horror is everywhere. It can be in things that aren't even that scary. I mean, I know as a kid I was scared of things that weren't supposed to be scary. Like, The Muppets Christmas Carol has that scene where he's sitting in bed and the Ghosts of Christmas Past comes up, and mm-hmm, it's like he's, like, scared. That scared me. Also, what scared me was when the doorknob turned into the Marleys. Like, that, like, there are parts of stories that aren't really supposed to be terrifying or scary per se, but they are.
Yeah.
Or a story that isn't entirely horror can have a horror element.
Even
to
shows,
it.
Mr. Meaty, the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, even though that's kind of directed to horror. What is it, like, that show, Flapjack?
Flapjack, yeah.
That one's a good one, for example, because, yeah, it's supposed to be this kid show. It's supposed to be fun, and in reality, it's got some really messed
horror
up. I don't know if you remember the cat from that show. The white cat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With the hollow eyes. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that.
So I just think that horror exists in all forms of media in some way. You can find something to be scared of. That's why phobias exist. People are afraid of different things.
Yeah,
and
some
very,
people are scared of things that aren't, most people wouldn't be.
People are scared of chickens. There's a phobia for that. So, I mean, like, there's a phobia for things. This one I get is, like, the phobia of things with too many holes. That one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget the name.
Trypophobia, I think.
I think there's thalassophobia, I think, is
thalassophobia is water. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it is just a mess of different things that can really scare you, and that's why it's so cool.
Yeah, you can find fear in just about anything.
Yeah, I mean,
so I like that. I think stuff like that is really cool. Kind of like it's just a roller coaster of emotions. You watch a really good horror film, and you can feel so much in just an hour or 2 hours. You know, the suspense, the fear, the sadness. You can feel a lot.
Yeah, and that's what we're all here for, is the horror. Mm-hmm. And all things horror.
Now, let me ask you, because kind of like you said, medieval times, or times where people would tell these stories of like vampires and witches.
Yeah.
Why do you think they did that? Do you think it was just to like scare children, or do you think that they maybe saw things back then and there's actually some truth to it?
Let me answer that question with a story.
Mm-hmm.
There is a theory that the reason I might have talked about this on this show before. There's a theory that, you know the word uncanny?
Uncanny, yep, the Uncanny Valley.
The Uncanny Valley. There is a theory that, not even a theory, just a question you could pose or an idea you could pose. Why does that word exist? Because at some point in our evolutionary cycle as humans, we needed a word to describe something that looked human but was not human. We needed a word like that to exist at some point. So what was that thing that created that word? So that's kind of like what I say is like, maybe people saw things. They saw things in the past, or they decided that these were creatures. Maybe they saw animals in the darkness and, oh, I saw, like, they saw a bear at night, and to them it was a demon. Like, it could be anything, but I think that there is always a hint of truth to a story. So whether that be creepy monsters or a story you write, there's always something in it that actually happened. And that's why I feel like horror is versatile, and it is permeated through the generations, because there's always a bit of truth to the horror. And with back in the day, I mean, people could see unexplainable things like the Aurora Borealis and think God is raining fire down. Or back in the day when they saw an eclipse.
Yeah, I was about to say, just think about an eclipse.
Yeah, like an eclipse. That would, imagine what that would do to the psyche of somebody who's lived their whole life fearing a God. And then they see this eclipse, they think the world is over.
Yeah, they think the world's going to end.
You know, but it only in reality lasts like 3 minutes, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So we have all this science to explain the unexplainable, but there are some things that are just still unexplainable. I got a question. Have you heard, did I talk about Fatal Frame already?
I think I don't remember if you talked to me about it or if we talked about it in the show.
Okay, well, I'll just bring it up quickly then. I've been playing Fatal Frame, and it is amazing. Great horror game. It's a survival horror game about cameras.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? I think I've seen some of the endings for it, and I think it is kind of sad.
I haven't been to the ending yet, okay. So I'd have to keep you updated on that. But it is... It's got some deep subject matter, you know, self-harm and whatnot, and it's good, but you're hunting ghosts with a camera. The whole point of the game is you take pictures of ghosts, and it's just amazing, but it got me thinking about how, like, there are pictures of ghosts, but there's no definitive proof of them, or there's no definitive, like, picture that isn't, like, edited. You know, so... I think everybody at home should play Fatal Frame. any of them. They're all self-contained stories. But I own the first one, and I own the final one, and I'm working my way through each one of the stories. So, I mean, we will see where it goes. Also, to everybody at home, this was from my other show. Go to Free Comic Book Day this weekend. I know this is off topic, but Free Comic Book Day is this weekend, and I want everybody to go to it, so go to it. There's some good horror comics coming out. Like How Did We Get Here, I think is what it's called, or Where Is Here, something like that. It's what I've heard of. But out of all the monsters we talked about, all the spirits, all the ghosts, all everything, what is your favorite?
Oh, dude, you just had to ask that question. Yeah. Dude, I don't know, man. That's so hard.
I have an answer locked and loaded.
You do? Go for it.
Mothman.
Mothman?
Yeah, I love Mothman. I don't know what it is about Mothman, but I feel like Mothman is just so iconic. You can't go wrong with Mothman. Like, when you think of cryptids, I think of Mothman.
Okay. For me, I guess I would have to say lichens.
Lichens? Okay.
I think lichens are cool. I think the idea of something like that existing is really just awesome.
Yeah.
I remember watching a show when I was younger. I think it was a Discovery Channel like documentary about werewolves, about how like they might actually exist, and it was kind of following a family that like claimed to be werewolves. Yeah. It was kind of weird. But yeah, I think stuff like that would be really cool. I think I'm biased too, just because like the wolves are my favorite animal. So yeah. I think something like that would be kind of cool. Probably Wendigos. I think Wendigos
are also sick. I just feel like ever since I watched that movie, The Mothman Prophecies, I think it's called.
I've seen that movie.
I love that movie so much. It's got like multiple cryptids in it. It's like kind of an amazing film, and I don't understand why people don't like it. But I don't know. I just feel like ever since I watched that and ever since I've been to West Virginia, I've like felt like, yeah, the Mothman is the coolest of any of the cryptids that I know or any of the monsters. Like, I would love like a cryptid cinematic universe or something.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. And this is completely off topic, but I know they're coming up with a new I think it's like Universal Park.
Yeah.
And
the Dark Universe Park?
Mm-hmm. I think it's called like, I don't know if it's Epic. Yeah, and then Epic one of the worlds is the Dark Universe.
Yeah. So the Epic Universe is this new park that Universal is opening, and they are opening up a land called the Dark Universe, and it's going to be all horror themed. I'm
so excited for it because it's classic horror too. It's like the Wolfman and Dracula, and you know the Swamp Thing and Frankenstein. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, but I'd love a Mothman shout out there. That'd be great. Any cryptid for that matter.
I think anything like that. I mean, they've done shows before like Supernatural, but that doesn't really. I don't really think, well, I haven't seen it all the way through, so I don't know if they talk about, like, Mothman or, like, the Jersey Devil or stuff like that, but, hey, that'd be really cool.
I'm trying to think.
Here, if you want, so I think we've been talking for a while. Why don't we do a quick music break?
Yeah, why don't we do a music break?
Kind of come back to it.
What do we got? What do we got for music? Here, let me see your list.
Let me see. I think I might have one. Hold on. Look up Phenomenon by Thousand Foot Crutch.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be back after this.
We'll be back, guys.
If there's not an ad. Okay.
It's a little survey.
All right. Destination for navigation. Man up your stations, feel the sensation.
nation. Surround invasion with communication. Move quick, we might avoid contamination. Down, it comes the sound. Everyone bam, your feet to this phenomenon now. Let's make it land and show them all how you move to this phenomenon. Whoa, open your soul, maybe lose control inside of this phenomenon. Just let yourself go and let everyone know. Crawl up beside us, they want to bite us, inject the virus. Raise up your lighters, raise to the righteous, need you to guide us. Get prepared to go, if you like us, calling our riders. All up beside us, no place to hide us. All freedom fighters, let's unite us, don't unite us, and let's go. Down, it comes the sound, everyone tap your feet to this phenomenon now. Show them all how you move to this phenomenon. Whoa, open your soul, maybe lose control inside of this phenomenon. Just let yourself go and let everyone know you move to this phenomenon. Can't take it anymore, shake it till we move the floor. What are we waiting for? Let's go. Tired of being ordinary, don't care if there's people staring. Rely on your strength to carry me on. I'm not invisible like you. To this phenomenon now, let's make it loud and let's show them all how you move to this phenomenon. Roll open your soul, maybe lose control inside of this phenomenon. Just let yourself go and let everyone know you move to this phenomenon. You move to this phenomenon. You move to this.
And we're back. We're back. So, we've talked about horror. We've talked about why we like horror. We've talked about our favorite monsters. I mean, really, we've exhausted a lot of topics. And, I mean, I doubt this show's going to go for the full hour. But that's okay. Because, I mean, it's the last show. We're just chilling. We're just vibing.
And yeah, we're all just kind of talking horror, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like what do you think are some topics that we could have covered that we probably missed, you know?
We should have done, what we should have done was an episode on folklore monsters from all over the world.
I think that would have been awesome.
It would have been. Yeah. We should have had sat and you know, researched it. I am going to still hunt for that Techie Techie movie. I'm going to text you when I find it. We're going to watch it together.
Well, okay. Yeah, sounds good. Because if you can find it, because that thing was nowhere to be found.
Because I want to watch it badly. I also want to watch the Kuchisaki Onna movie. Because I liked the slit-mouthed woman. But I mean,
I think folklore from around the world would have been cool.
I'm gonna play this. There is a song from a TV show. It's kind of a jokey song.
What is this?
Just listen to this.
Jonah, I'm confused.
Yeah, what's your deal? Why don't you shave?
What? Yeah, that too. But I thought giant monsters came from Japan, not Denmark.
Well, Asia clearly has the most monster credibility, but there's a beautifully diverse array of global monsters all over the planet.
I love this. Explain. It's so cool. Preferably it's like actual monsters.
Oh, all right, if you insist. Reptilicus is silly, but he really illustrates the great array of monsters all over the place. Not just in Japan, but across the planet. An A to Z gamut or gargantuan panoply.
Example, please.
Or name a land.
Belize.
Oh, geez. Easy peasy. Mesa maze. See, in the Yucatan, you can meet El Cadejo. In Belize, they believe in him. They're not afraid to say so.
Scotland.
Nessie's living up in a lot.
How about Poland?
Scary, scary crow named a buck.
So it's not just Godzilla?
Well, duh, crow. There's a lot that could kill you.
Hey.
Tom.
Sorry, crow.
Okay.
Rose.
Joe.
Yo, Jonah. How's the chorus go?
Every country has a monster they're afraid of in their nation.
Every monster has a country
Yeah, station they call their home.
So he's gonna go through a whole bunch of them, and they're all real.
Butcher, Gleeping, Glouton, Crobin.
What turned the Mustier's guts to spaghetti?
Was it in Tibet?
Yep.
Betty.
Forget it. Bear drop bears will impale ya.
Then they'll sell ya hella touristy paraphernalia.
Chupacabra's chewing up
cattle down in Mexico.
Del Geats, Horns Gorn, battling the Navajo. Congo's Congo motto is a Mongo flying dino. I know I don't wanna die, but when I do,
build
the
guy.
Whoa.
This is actually cool.
Yeah.
So, Crow.
Servo.
Ready to go.
Start slow.
Cropamon is a monster from Luxembourg.
Who's actually the size
of Luxembourg.
He crushed the whole country of Luxembourg.
Because he is the size of Luxembourg.
Egypt's got mummies like Tutankhamun.
Leprechaun on Milan and Boston Common.
Bot's got the hang of it. The song's really kicking.
Chicken in China. The Chinese chicken. Chicken.
By that, I mean Zhu Fang and Peng. Hmm. Giant Chinese birds. And one of them turns into a fish. Anyway, good news, killer shrews and the loop guru, Baba Yaga, Joro Gumu, and the Impundulu. Now you guys realize the surprising size of all the worldwide Daikaiju.
Every country has a monster they're afraid of in their nation. Every monster has a country.
That's Canada.
A station they call their home.
Top of the moon, called the Swiss.
Every country. As a monster,
that's
they're afraid of
being
in their nation.
Route 13.
Every monster has a country. Yeah, we've got movie signs.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so a lot of monsters. There are a lot of monsters all over the world. And there's probably a movie for like half of them. I mean,
yeah.
Let's look up folklore.
Man, I mean, so I'm Colombian. And even thinking about it, we got a lot of creatures. A lot of the monsters, like the stories that we have, are just kind of like weird or useless monsters.
Yeah.
One of the things that, one of the stories that, people talk about, it's literally just a disembodied foot.
That's
you'll hear thumping, and like it's a foot, and it'll like kick you, and it's called La Pata Sola.
There's so many. There's a lot.
Obviously, you got La Llorona, which is known everywhere.
The curse of, I don't know how to say it right.
La Llorona. Yeah, there you
go. The Krampus.
Krampus is a good one, I think. Yeah. I like Krampus, too.
What else? The Wendigo, obviously.
Wendigo, the Skinwalker.
The Skinwalkers, the Baba Yaga.
Oh, the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman.
Or the Man in the Sack.
I mean, the Blair Witch Project is kind of an old folklore monster. Witches, I mean.
Witches. I think witches are really cool. Witches are still super relevant, you know.
Yeah. This does not look like a horror movie. This looks like an action film. Vampiria. Sleepy Hollow. Now,
that's a good one.
That's an iconic horror story.
Headless Horseman.
The Headless Horseman. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Nah,
the Legend of the Chupacabra.
Did you remember way back when, this was years ago, when they started coming out with the whole thing that they found the Chupacabra?
No.
Yeah, look it up. They were saying that they found it. I remember it. They think it was like a documentary, and it's this weird hairless dog, but it doesn't have like paws. It has like hands.
Scientists believe legendary chupacabra monsters are actually coyotes with severe cases of mange.
There you go. Look at images.
These are all censored. I don't want to open these, but okay. All right, view image. Oh, yeah. No, that could be a...
They were going on about how this is like the real one. And apparently they were chasing one of these things with a car, and they can run extremely fast. I forget how many miles per hour. But I think it's just a dog without hair. But who knows? I think it kind of goes into what we were saying about how somebody way back when saw something that they didn't understand. Maybe it was an animal, and boom.
Have you seen this movie, The Ritual?
Yeah.
That movie is not great, but it doesn't.
No,
have, it does,
the monster's cool.
The monster's really cool in that. I really like the monster.
It's like this massive thing, and like I think it looks like it has like horns, but in reality they're like hands.
It's weird looking, but it's pretty cool. I mean, I always give props.
It looks like something out of Lovecraft.
I give props to anything that like is unique looking, and like they definitely put a lot of effort into that monster. It's just that movie like is really boring because like for half of the film they're just walking.
You know what movie I thought was kind of boring too? I wish it would have had more. It was actually interesting. I don't know. I kind of like it. I just wish they would have had.
What is it?
I forget the full name. It's the Chernobyl one.
The Chernobyl Diaries.
There you go.
Yeah, that movie is weird because it's shot like a found footage film, but it's not found
footage. It's not found footage, but yeah. It is. And like at the end, they all end up dying because they go to the power plant. There's like these zombie creatures there that kind of take them out.
I feel like the Chernobyl Diaries is one of those movies that's kind of a guilty pleasure for me because I watched it and I really do like it, but it's not a good movie.
Exactly. There you go. That's kind of what I'm going at. And I love movies like that are kind of like found footage.
I love found footage films.
Man, there was this movie and I forgot what it's called. It's kind of like a funny movie. It's a streamer that goes into an abandoned house to kind of mess with ghosts and do these rituals, and the ghosts actually start appearing. And a dude has zero survival instincts. Like, there's ghosts everywhere. I think he ends up dying at the end, but it's probably one of the dumbest yet funniest movies I've ever seen.
One of the Ring movies is just called Sadako. And it's from 2019. And then that one, a guy is trying to make YouTube content, and he goes into, like, a haunted house, and he catches a glimpse of Sadako, and then everybody who views the YouTube video, you know, gets ringed.
No way.
Yeah, it's really dumb. It's not a good movie. But the reason that movie is like has any like importance to the Ring franchise is because it's directed by the guy who directed the original Ring film. Another good one.
I did not like Midsommar.
You did not like Midsommar?
Dude, that movie's just weird. It's good, but it's all types of weird.
It's one. I forget who what's his name, but he wrote Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hereditary is another one that's just, oh my god.
I like Hereditary.
That poor girl.
Yeah, that movie is.
Hereditary is good.
But oh my gosh, there was one I was gonna bring up. There was one I was going to bring up, and I can't – I forgot about it when I brought up Sadako. Oh, yeah. It's a Korean found footage film. I forget the name. Korean found footage. Yeah, Gangnam Haunted Asylum. Have you heard of this?
Oh, my God. Hell no. I have heard of it, and that this thing looks unsettling.
This movie is great. Oh, my gosh.
Dude,
like,
really? Is it actually terrifying? Because I feel like it's actually terrifying. It is
actually terrifying.
Just by looking at the images, I can tell.
I'm pretty sure it has – let me see what it's got. Yeah, it's got – look at this tomato score. It's got a decent tomato score too. Okay, so basically this movie is about a group of streamers or a group of internet people going to this haunted asylum, Gangnam, the haunted asylum, which, by the way, is a real place you can go to. It was supposedly actually haunted. They go there to fake a whole bunch of ghost sightings, and then stuff happens. And I watched this with a group of friends, and it was amazing. It was so good. I loved it. It's like
– what's the fear factor? Like how – on a scale of 1 to 10, how scary is it?
I'd give it like a 9. Wow. Like there's a scene where like this guy's standing there and these hands come from behind and grab his face like that. And he turns – like he goes to turn around and they're gone. And it's like – it happens so quickly. It's amazing. And then there's like the black-eyed people. Like they have the fully black eyes. I'd give it a 9.
Oh, it reminds me of the story, the urban legend of the black-eyed kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I can find a Gangnam Haunted Asylum.
I'm going to have to watch that now, but I really don't. Ah, man. Part of me doesn't want to. Part of me really wants to. I'm going to watch it. I feel like I've watched worse things.
She's staring at somebody. And I'm just gonna show it up to here. And And then what do you think happens next? So, I mean,
this thing opens its eyes.
Yeah, so
was this one of her like friends or one of the streamers?
One of the other streamers. And they're all like throughout the whole movie they're streaming it live on the internet and you're supposed to be watching it from the perspective of somebody who tuned into the stream.
That's crazy.
It's cool. It's so, really cool.
So what happened to them? Do they just die? Do they get possessed?
I don't want to spoil it.
All right.
Enough. We can watch it together. We got to do like a movie night. You have Discord, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like we got to get some people. Like maybe we get Sam or something and we'll do a movie night on Discord.
Yeah. Get like Gunner.
Yeah. We'll do a movie night and we'll watch two films. We're going to watch No Roy the Curse, which we talked about last week.
We did.
And we're going to watch Gonjiam Haunted Asylum. And we'll do those two films. And we can't really talk about it because we're not going to have a show. But it'll be fun. Let's do it. I love a good found footage film. I love a good found footage film. Especially Gonjiam. I think this movie is a...
That's creepy. Would you ever visit or like go to like a haunted abandoned places like I can't talk today, I'm losing my words. Would you explore any haunted or like abandoned places?
Maybe. I actually probably if I had a group of friends, I would go to Gonjiam. It's called Gonjiam Psychiatric Hospital in Gwangju, Yeonju Province. It is purportedly one of Korea's most haunted locations. In 2012, CNN Travel selected it as one of the 7 freakiest places on the planet. Let's look up 7 freakiest places in the world.
The Island of the Dolls.
Let's look at the list. So
I think that's the first one on the list.
If this will get out of the way, because I don't want like half the screen to be taken up. There we go. Okay, so the first one on the list is Gonjiam.
Okay.
Which?
Wait, really? I thought it was 7.
It says one of the 7.
Oh, one of
but
the
7.
But
this is 10.
Okay, never mind.
So this is 10 of them. So whatever. The story.
So Gonjiam.
The Sedlec Ossuary in the Czech Republic.
That's creepy.
That's creepy as heck. It's like a chandelier made out of bones.
Fetish Market.
Oh, what the?
What is that? Oh, God.
That is just tons of horns and skulls. The La Isla...
La Isla de las Muñecas. That's the Island of the Dolls.
Ah, that's...
In Mexico.
Battleship Island in Nagasaki.
Oh, do you know the story of the Island of the Dolls?
No, what's the island?
It's just this little island, and I think there's just like an old man that lived there, like some guy lived there. And the story is that a little girl drowned close to the shore of the island, and mm-hmm. she had a doll with her, and that doll popped up. And so the guy went and he fished out the doll and he hung it. He basically, I think he like nailed it to a tree or hung it from a tree. And ever since that incident, dolls just randomly appear in the water. They just start like appearing. And so he goes through and he fishes off these dolls and he nails them and hangs them around the island. And there's so many now the entire island is covered in dolls.
Wow.
And we can read these and after that to look at some images for you. It's unsettling. I think there's actually a creepypasta for it too now.
This is, oh my gosh. Oh, this is terrifying.
And the dude, I think the dude lives there still.
That's crazy.
Or unless he like died. I don't really know. I never really kept up much with it.
There's Battleship Island in Nagasaki, Japan, Chernobyl Amusement Park. Mm-hmm.
Catacombs. I want to visit that.
The Paris Catacombs.
I would love to visit that.
That would be amazing. Yep. Have you seen As Above, So Below?
Yep.
Yeah.
That really long time ago. I remember when it first came out.
I really like that movie, even though it's not amazing. It's fun.
Poviglia Island?
Yeah.
Venice, Italy.
Huh.
No picture for it.
No picture. The Darvaza Crater or the Gateway to Hell.
I have heard of that.
Yes, there really is a crater deep in the Turkmenistan desert that has been burning an inferno for the past 40 years.
Yeah, it's a fire that you can't put out, that never gets put out.
That's
Man, insane. That reminds me of the real-life Silent Hill.
Oh my gosh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the coal mines, the fires that never got pulled out.
Bellwitch Cave, and that's it. Well, that is some cool, scary places.
The Bellwitch Cave is in Tennessee.
Bellwitch Cave. It's got a website. It's in Adams, Tennessee.
Ooh. What's the story to it? I wonder why it's so freaky.
Let's see. History and legend. Widely considered by ghost hunters and paranormal investigators as America's most haunted location, the story of the Bell family dates back to 1804. John Bell moved his wife, Lucy, and their children from North Carolina to Robertson County, Tennessee, where he purchased 320 acres of farmland along the Red River. The family lived a peaceful life for 13 years, but in the summer of 1817, the family would experience things that would change their lives forever. What started as seeing strange animals on the farm led to hearing eerie sounds in their cabin. Several accounts varied on who or what was causing the disturbances and why they were tormenting the Bell family. The sounds the family heard escalated to a voice speaking directly to them until it could be heard in every room of the house, especially terrorizing John's youngest daughter, Betsy, with beatings that left her unconscious. The notoriety of this unseen force spread throughout the countryside and left the Bell family with people camping out on their farm by the hundreds, hoping to witness the strange phenomenon. This Bell witch, as it became to be known, vowed to kill John Bell and subsequently took credit for his death 3 years later on December 20th, 1820, when a vial was found next to his deathbed with a strange liquid inside. John Bell's death attributed to the Bell Witch, making Tennessee the only state to recognize a person's death to the supernatural. The Bell Witch was also known for her accurate predictions of the future and her vows to John Bell's children of her return in future years. Did the Bell Witch return or did it never leave? We will let you decide. That just sounds like he beat his children and then killed himself.
Yeah.
Like
I wasn't expecting you to say that. That sounded so blunt.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what it's that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. But they accepted it as a supernatural death.
Yeah, so. The Bell Witch Cave Ghost Adventures has one. That's crazy.
Screw it, I'd visit.
I'd go.
Honestly, I might go sometime.
I mean, hey, we live in America, so it's not like too crazy to be like, let's go to Tennessee.
Right. No, we're not living super far away from it. Yeah. There's a lot of these locations here that, honestly, like the Goatman's Bridge.
Yeah.
Or like the Devil's Stomping Ground.
Yeah.
That one's crazy.
Do you work tonight?
Later in the day, yeah.
Later in the day? You going to get home late?
Around like 8.
Around 8? We might be able to watch a movie tonight. If we can get people.
Yeah.
I don't work today. I do work tomorrow, but.
You work tomorrow?
Yeah, but I work tomorrow in like the afternoon, I think. So it's not that big a deal. Well, you want to wrap up?
2:47.
I mean, we've talked about a lot of stuff, and I mean.
Yeah, I guess kind of just closing remarks, just a really quick outro, and we should be good. I mean, thank you. Thank you for, you know, those of you who have been listening. It's been fun. This is the first time that I've done a radio show. I know I think you've done this before, but yeah.
This is my third.
Your third?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. And I will keep doing them.
They're fun. They're really fun. This is, I want to probably do another one at some point, but to me, this has been a really fun experience.
I want to do one on here and talk. I want to do one on anime and manga.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a lot. There's
Kaiju number 8 is out, and I've been enjoying
it. Can't wait for the next episode. I'm going to have to get into the manga, that one.
Yeah, no, I have to get into the manga. I'm a little bit too into that.
It's so good.
So, thank you, everybody, for listening. And you know what? We'll play our theme song one last time.
Sounds good.
We'll play that.
But thank you for everybody that has listened, that has supported us. It's been a really fun show, really fun semester overall. I look forward to doing something like this again in the future, maybe for anime or manga, or maybe revisiting the scary topic. But with that being said, this was The Dark Room. Thank you, everybody, that listened, and it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, we'll see you when we see you.
Take care.
Bye.